We're going to continue on this week. We've been going through a series called Made for Mission. So 2 weeks ago, you remember that I spoke to you about how we're all called to be on mission, that God has called each and every one of us. He's not picking and choosing, that we are all called. He's given each and every one of us a call to step out and do what he called you to do. And then last week, Claudio looked at what exactly our mission is. That our mission is Jesus' mission. That what Jesus did is what Christ is asking us to do. So this week, I want to look at how do we talk about our mission? Like, what is the message that we want to give out in our mission? So that's what I want to wrestle with today is, what actually do we say when we tell people about Christ? Because our mission is to tell the lost that there's somewhere to be found, that there is someone who loves them, that there is someone who's looking to take care of them. There's someone who's looking to fulfill all of their desires and needs. So what I want to look at today is, what do we actually say when we talk to people? And a beautiful story of that is what we find in John chapter 4. It gives us a perfect example where Jesus shows up at a well and he begins talking to a woman. Now, this woman he talked to, she ended up becoming an evangelist to all of the rest of her city. And in doing so, she didn't go to seminary. She had an encounter. And that encounter is what she shared. And her story shows us exactly what our message really is. So let's take a look at John chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 1, going to verse 8. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And as he was passing through Samaria, I just want to take a quick second and stop there. If you look at the map and understand the dealings that Jews had with Samaritans, the fact that, yes, to get from to get to Galilee from Judea, the most direct route is going through Samaria. Most Jews didn't do that, though. Most Jews would take the route around that because there was people there that they just didn't want to deal with. The Jews and the Samaritans, they hated each other. They didn't want to, if they could be as far away as possible, that's what they were going to do. Even though it would be make the trip more difficult and more long, they would go around. But Jesus said, no. This is my path. This is where I'm going. So we'll carry on. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So this is a perfect picture of our interactions, our daily interactions. If you notice, Jesus was tired. He had been traveling, and he was hungry. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I get hangry, Big Papa's not a happy man. I got a lot of belly to feed. So Jesus was tired, and he was hungry. It had been a dusty road. And he was sitting by a well. He's thirsty. So he said to this woman, "Hey, can I have a drink?" If you notice that, he had always planned to tell her about who he was. But he didn't start off with doctrine. He starts off with a dialogue. He doesn't condemn her lifestyle because we find out later on he knew everything about her. He didn't have her come and go, "You're a Samaritan. You're a bad person." No. He doesn't condemn her lifestyle. He connects with her heart. Evangelism doesn't begin by winning an argument. There's so many times that we look at evangelism and go, I'm going to talk to someone and I'm going to tell them who Jesus is. And it's become very popular in this world. And I honestly really enjoy apologetics. Because if you ask my wife, she didn't understand when she first married me. I like to argue, right? Not with my wife because I never win at that. But I like to argue with everyone else who I actually win against. But she would come to our house growing up. And she would sit there at our table and she's like, what are you guys doing? Because my dad and I would debate everything. And everything was a debate. Well, I don't think I see it your way. And you know what? My kids do it to me. I've grown up kids who are exactly like me. They like to debate everything. But that's not what apologetics always is. That's not what the message is. That's not what our job always is. Most of the time, when we want to relay our message, it's going to start with a conversation. People want to be seen. People want to be heard. So we need to take that time and sit down and get to know them. Hi, you look hungry today. You want to go for dinner? All right, I got one dinner date. Perfect. Our family's going out for dinner. Hi, how are you? Wow, you look really tired. Is everything going okay with you right now? These are the conversations that start. It's not, do you know Jesus? Do you believe who Jesus is? It didn't start with that. He started with, hey, how are you? Can you give me some water? Because we know that our world is thirsty. People are drawing from a well that cannot satisfy them. So Jesus looked at her needs and said, well, I'm thirsty and you're thirsty. Because she was obviously there to get some water. So he found some common ground for one. He's like, hey, you're thirsty, I'm thirsty. When we're speaking with someone and we're giving them the gospel, it's great. We want to tell them about the glory of who God is. But until they truly know that we care about them and that we suffer the same things that they suffer, they're not going to listen the same. When I tell people my story and I sit down and say, this is what's happened in my life. And I say, I want to know what's happened in your life. I want to understand your pains, your hurts, your desires. When people truly believe that you care, the message completely changes. Jesus shows us how to begin with humility, curiosity, and compassion. People know, always know, when you actually care. And you're not just doing a job. People know that if you're like, I just want a number. You know, it's almost counterintuitive for me as a pastor because, of course, I want to see our church grow. But as we talk to people, I don't want you just to invite people to church. That's not what we're called to. Church, don't just invite people to church. Invite people to relationship. Start that relationship. And through that relationship, yes, we may want to invite them, say, hey, if you want to continue this, there's other people like me. There's other people who want to care about you. There's other people who want to see you grow into what God has for you. But we don't just walk someone, hey, you want to come to church? That's great for them to come, but people are looking for relationship. It's walking to someone and saying, wow, you look really thirsty today. Want to go for coffee? Oh, you know what, sir? You actually look kind of sad. Is there anything that I can talk with you about? We want to invite people to relationship. Even though Jesus was tired and thirsty from a long day's travel, he still saw the needs of someone and took time to speak into their life. You may be at work and you're busy and you're head down, focused. It's a busy day. Time's almost up. My job's coming to a close here. It's 4:30. You know, I don't got time. I see this person hurting. I see this person over here. I know that they're dealing with something. I just got to get this done because I got to get home. Or do we stop and say, the work's going to be here tomorrow? But as we talked about, this isn't my job. this is my mission field. And if we truly stop to change the way we think and stop going, this isn't my job, this is my mission field, then the job that we happen to be doing is secondary when we see the hurt and the lost. And we start that conversation and people go, man, there's something different about this person because they actually really seem to care. They actually really seem to want to know what's going on in my life. And when we open those doors, we begin to help them to understand who Christ is. And as we see later on, because Jesus was able to connect with this person on a physical, psychological level, that when he did step into the spiritual level of it, she was much more open and receiving. So we'll continue on in John 4, verse 9 and 10. It says, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the God, the gift of God, and how and who it was that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Because Jesus took the time out and created a relationship, he's able to see her real need. And he said, you don't understand that right now you're thinking that we're talking about physical water. But if you truly understood, you'd understand that I'm here to offer you something that's far more fulfilling, far more satisfying. And even though he was tired and hungry, he still took that time to say, what is your needs? How can I fulfill your needs? And if you truly understood, then it's going to change your whole life. People see Christianity as something for some and not for all. This world looks like, oh, that's good. Christianity's for you. But that's not really for me. Sometimes we look at people and we look at people on the outside and go, that person, I don't see how Jesus can love them. And God doesn't actually really want me to talk to that person. I don't like that person. So God is obviously asking somebody else to talk to that person. I'm going to pray and say, God, I know that person needs you. So I'm going to pray that God sends somebody else. Because honestly, me and that person, we just don't jam. We don't get along. I don't like that person. I don't like that group of people. I don't like the way that their hair is, if they had hair. I don't like the way they smell. But if that person is in front of you, then God is calling you to that person. Church is not for somebody else. This call, this message, this mission is not for somebody else. It's every person that God puts in front of you. That's your mission field. Whether you like him or you don't like him, I guarantee you this, Jesus loves them. And if Jesus loves them, as we learned last week, that's our mission. Jesus' mission is our mission. And whoever stepped in front of Jesus is exactly who he spoke into. You don't have to like the person. You have to love the person. There's many people in this world that I don't like. I'm going to say many. There's some people in this world that I don't like. But I guarantee you I love them. And if God puts them in front of me, this isn't just a message for you. This is a message for me also. Because there's been people I know that God has put in front of me that I haven't spoken into their lives. That I know that they're thirsting for more. And I know that I have the cure for what ails them. I know who can quench their thirst. And if we don't tell them, who will? So whether you're tired, you're hungry, you like them, you don't like them, I want you to know they're your mission field. You are called to speak into every person's life. Everything in our life is secondary. Church, I want us to be a church that knows that this is our call. this is not a Sunday morning experience. There's so many churches who have gone to that for calling their service, and I'm not going to call out churches for that, but I will never call this a Sunday morning experience. Because this isn't a Sunday morning experience. This is a lifetime experience. And whether I'm in this church, whether I'm in my car, I'm in the shopping mall, I'm at a job, no matter where I am, it's an experience for Christ. Church, we need to change our mindsets. That we don't invite people to church, we invite people to relationship. In the end, sure, I'd love if this place was packed out, but if we didn't get a single person stepping into this building, but each and every one of us went out there and impacted the world around us and spoke into the people's lives what God is asking us to speak into their lives, I'm okay with that. I'm not asking you to invite people to church. I'm asking you to invite people into a relationship that'll change everything that they do. The message isn't come to my church. The message is come to Jesus. Come to the living water that will quench every thirst you ever had, every desire you thought you had. It all comes down to Jesus. Come to the living water. Honestly, hopefully they come to church afterwards. Our message is a gift of God for all. If we continue on in verse 13 and 14, Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Church, our message speaks to the thirst of the human heart. There's a reason why we start our conversations asking them about them. And I want to know about your story. I want to know what ails you. I want to know what makes you happy. Because Jesus knows what makes them happy. And when we truly understand them, we can see in their lives what they're actually thirsting for. When we look on in this story and Jesus says to this woman, "Well, you have a husband." "Well, no, I don't." "Well, I know you don't because you have five husbands." He knew what was in her life. He knew her thirst. She was thirsting for relationship. And she was trying to find it in so many different areas. She was going through man after man after man. She was sleeping with somebody who wasn't even her husband. Because she was thirsting for something. And because Christ knew this in her, he could say, "I know your desire, but your true desire for relationship is never going to be fulfilled with a man. I want to tell you right now that no matter what it is you desire, it can only be fulfilled with Christ. Relationships, sex, alcohol, drugs, pornography. These are all things that the world thinks, "I desire these things, I want these things." It's not because they actually want those things. They're looking to fill a thirst. And I can tell you, I've lived in that world. I've done these things. The only thing that happens is they need more of it because it never truly satisfies them. How can we say that we love someone or care about someone when we see that they're thirsting, but we won't tell them where to get the true living water? How can we say as a church that we love the people around us, that we love our community, when we know that they're thirsting and hungering after something that they will never find in this world? We were born sinners. We were born deprived from Christ. We were born with a thirst for something more because it's innate in us. It's in our DNA. God created us to be in relationship, but not just relationship with anything, relationship with Him. It's something that's created in every single one of us. And until we find that perfect living water, there is nothing Nothing that will satisfy. People say, well, if I just had more money, oh God, if you just give me another job and I had more money and I could buy this and I could buy that, I would be satisfied, God. God, if you could just give me the right husband or wife, it would be okay. That's what I really need. God, I'm praying that you just give me that right husband or wife. You'd give me that right job that I can make just a bit more money so I can buy just a bit bigger of a house. God, if I buy this bigger house, I can hold more Bible studies. God said, you can hold a Bible study with two people in your house right now and you're not doing it. It's not the bigger house you need. It's not the wife or husband that you need. It's Christ. He's the only one who truly fills us. Whoever drinks of that water will never thirst again. He doesn't just address her behavior. He addresses the true thirst. Every soul has one. Some thirst for love, for purpose, for forgiveness. It can only be satisfied through Christ. Our message as the church shouldn't be, you need to be more religious. It's, there's living water. And his name is Jesus. So as we continue on in verse 16, it said, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. You have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true, the woman said. Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Jesus called out her sin. Now, it's very easy for us as a church and as Christians to listen to the first part of what I just said. Yes, Jason, this is what I'm doing. I'm in relationship with people. This is great. I'm doing what you're saying. I'm sitting and I'm talking to people and I'm having a relationship with them. That's great. That's where we all need to start. But if you notice here, Jesus doesn't stop there and just say like, hey, we're in relationship, we're talking, this is great. No, there comes a point where he calls out the sin. There's going to be a point because we have relationship with that person that we need to start calling out the sin. And because we have relationship with that person, because that person knows us, because that person now knows that this person truly cares about me, that when we do call out the sin, because we want to hold people to the standard of Christ, I do not condemn people. God does. We are not a church of condemnation. God is. God is a holy and just God. Church, I want you to know that God is a holy and just God. And when we're in relationship with someone, God is not calling us just to be their friend. Our mission isn't just to be their friend, but it's to walk alongside them. And there's going to come a point where we're going to have to call them out. And because we're in relationship with them, because Jesus was now in relationship with her and he could see that he cared and she could see that there's something different about this, that she accepted that. It's that ouch moment. And every relationship that we have with someone who doesn't know Christ has to have an ouch moment. That moment where the person knows we care, but we go, because I love you. And this is, I'm actually very excited because next year we're going to be going into a series about the fruits of the Spirit. And one of my favorite sermons is about love. And when we truly love someone, there's going to be an ouch moment. Because if I truly love you and I see that you're doing something that's harmful to yourself, it's not true love if I don't call you out on it. Because if I truly love you, then I care about your eternal existence. I care about that your spiritual existence, the spirit that lasts forever. Church, it's easy to say, I love this person. If you truly love them and you knew that they were doing something wrong, and you knew that they were condemned to hell, condemned to separation from Christ forever, do we truly love them if we don't say something? But because we've developed a relationship, because we've been able to talk with them and they know that we care, now when we say, hey man, there's something going on in your life, it's not right. And we say it out of love, and they know that we say it out of love. It's not we walk up to them, and I don't know you, but I can tell you right now that you're living a life that's not right and not pleasing to God. Now, there's going to be moments in this world where God tells us to do that, which, like I've said, I've talked to many people here, and I struggle with street preachers. I do agree that there's time that God may call someone to do that at a certain point. But I can guarantee you this. When I look at how Jesus lived his life, much more so, it's going to be, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to have a relationship with you. And when you trust me, and when you know that my heart is for you, that when I call you out and say, listen, man, there's this thing happening in your life right now that's not healthy for you, that they're going to stop and they're going to listen. And we see that exactly happen to this woman. That because Jesus had this relationship with her, because he knew that he loved her, that when he called her out and said, yeah, no, you're right, you don't have a husband, you've had five husbands, and the one you're sleeping with right now isn't your husband, that she didn't take it as like, oh, who's this guy? You don't know me, walked away. She said, wow, you're right. And there's a life-changing moment. She didn't run, she leaned in. She said, sir, I can see that you are a prophet. The truth spoken in grace didn't repel her, it intrigued her. We all need to take that moment and speak truth. And it may be difficult, it may be hard, but that doesn't mean it doesn't need to be done. The hardest things in this world are the things that change the most. We cannot be afraid to talk about sin. But we do in Jesus' way. We tell them about the good news because the good news is here because there's bad news. People sin. Can't be ignored. But when we do it in love, they'll lean in. Our message isn't, you're a sinner and I'm better than you. It's, hey, I was thirsty too, and I found the one who gives living water. Because people know that I'm broken just like you are. Sometimes I look at my past and people go like, are you ashamed of the things that you did? Like, I wasn't always good. I did some stuff that I'm not proud of. But I look at those things in my life and go, God, you will take what was created for evil and you will make it for your glory and for good. And so now when I sit down with people and I talk to them, I tell them, I can actually relate to you. No, I've done the things that you've done. I understand, but I can tell you this right now, that there's something so much greater. The things you're doing will never bring you satisfaction. Church, we need to tell this world that the things that they're doing that are sinful, that are drawing them away from God, will never truly bring them happiness and joy. That because we found living water, they can too. So then this woman says, well, this is amazing. This is great. So then she leaves because the disciples come back and they got food. They're like, hey, man, Burger King was closed, so we had to get some McDonald's. I'm really sorry, Jesus, because we know you love Burger King because he's the King of Kings. Come on, it's pretty good. So we read in verse 31 to 34. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Who has brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Church, our message is that we were created for this. We were created for this message. There's going to be people in this church, in all churches in Christianity, who go, "Wow, I've given my life to Jesus. And it was great for a bit. I really loved it. But now it's just not hitting the same way it used to. I don't feel the joy that I did. When I first came to Christ, there's an excitement. There's a passion. It was exciting. It was new. It was different. But now it's just kind of mundane. I feel like I'm thirsty for something else. I'm diving into my word. And I'm praying more. I'm doing all these things. And it's great. But it feels like I'm still missing something." It's because we were made to do something more. God has called you on mission. God has called you to do something. And yes, knowing Christ will fulfill you. But in knowing Christ, our mission, as we talked about last week, is Christ's mission. And when we truly step into Christ's mission, that is part of the fulfillment that we feel. Jesus said, "You guys don't understand. You brought some Mickey D's, but I've already eaten. I've already done what I was created to do. This is so much more filling. My spirit is filled," which in turn actually fills the body. There's a reason why, as we dive into fasting and start to understand fasting, that when we truly understand that when our spirit is fed in a way that we can't truly understand, that when that spirit is fed, it all of a sudden has a physical effect also. Our physical man is satiated. Why? Because we are of two people. We are the spirit and we are the physical. And you can fill all you want of one, and if you ignore the other, you're never truly going to be satisfied. You were created to do this. If you want true fulfillment, you must come to Christ. But in coming to Christ, we now fulfill what Christ was doing. His mission is our mission. And when we step into that, you want to feel amazing. You want to feel that rush. You want to feel God bumps. Then go out and witness to someone. Tell them about the love of Christ. There is nothing more fulfilling in your life than when you see that light bulb go on to someone, they're like, "Oh, I've never heard Christ put this way. I've never truly understood who Christ was. I never understood that Jesus loves me and that you love me too." When we step into that mission, we truly begin to know what we are created for. While Jesus was changing a woman's life at the well, his disciples were off looking for lunch. And when they came back, they said, "Hey, Jesus, you got to eat." And he said, no, I've eaten. This is what fills me up, and this is what I live for." For Jesus, doing the Father's will, reaching the lost, bringing salvation to the broken, wasn't just a duty, it was a delight. It's what satisfied him more than anything else. If we as followers of Jesus, the same should be true for us. We were made for mission. We were created to carry the message. Evangelism isn't something we do. I don't do evangelism. You don't do evangelism. It's who we are. It's ingrained in us. It's in our DNA. So many people are restless. Church, I believe that there's people here today who have been feeling unsatisfied. I believe that there's a reason why we're doing this series. We have an amazing church. We have an amazing congregation. The people in this church have been such a blessing. I mean, we've been here for 2 months, and I'm just so blessed to have gotten to know you. And I believe God is doing great things and speaking great things into your heart. But I want to encourage you. I know that there's people who are like, all right, I'm ready to go. What's going to happen? Pastor Jason, do it. And I'm like, okay, do it. We're calling each other out here. I'm here to walk alongside you, but I'm not here to walk for you. You're doing the walking. You're doing the talking. I want to encourage you. I want to lift you up. I want to be a shepherd to you. That when you're out in this world, you're going to get beaten down. You can come back and go, hey, Jason, this is really tough. And I want to walk alongside you and cry with you. But then I want to send you back out and go do it again. Because I'm not here to grow this church. We're here to grow this church. When I say this church, I'm talking the church of Christ. The body of Christ. We're here to grow the body of Christ. We're here to do it together. So please don't look and go, okay, Jason's here. We're going to go, Jason. Do it. I'm here to go, let's do it together, church. And if you want to find true fulfillment, then it's in this. So what's my message? Is we were made to point people to a Savior. We were made to tell them about the water that never runs dry. And we were made to do the will of the one who sent us. It's not complicated. It doesn't have to be polished. But it does have to be personal. When we go talk to people, it was interesting. I went to Life Group on Monday. It was fantastic. It was great. Half me was kind of annoyed. Half me was kind of happy. Because if you're in Life Group, you know that this is exactly what we're talking about. And we were talking. I'm like, really, guys? You're taking my sermon from me here? We already talked about this in our Life Groups. Now I've got to speak about it on Sunday. But the other half of me was happy because I could say, God, you're really trying to speak into these people's lives. You're really trying to speak into my life. And no matter how many times he has to say it, I believe he will continue to say it. Church, get out. Get out. We're not here for a Sunday experience. If you came here to listen to me, that's fine. But you didn't come here just to listen to me. You came here to hear God and then to get out and do something. Church, we will be an active church. We will come here and we will hear God's word and we will be refreshed and we will bring others, but our job isn't to be here on Sunday morning. Our job is to be in people's lives 24/7. No matter where you are, that is your job. Our job is to tell people this. There's living water for every thirsty heart. There's forgiveness for every broken failure. There's grace for every guilty past. And there's hope for every sinner who comes to the Savior. That's what the woman at the well found. And because she had that encounter, she didn't just keep it to herself. She went back to her neighborhood. She went back to her city and she called others and said, you'll never guess. I met someone who changed my life. Church, when we truly get on fire for Christ and we evangelize people because that's who we're created for, we're multi-level marketers. Amen? We are multi-level marketers. That I want to bring someone to Christ, and that person's going to bring two people, and that person's going to bring four people, and we will multiply what God is doing in this city. God is asking you to do your part. Speak to the one this week. Don't leave it for someone else. Don't leave it for someone you like. Leave it for the person who God puts in front of you. That when you walk up to that well, you're like, hey, can I get a drink of water? So church, what is your well? It's the place where you meet people who are far from God. And so what is your message? It's how Christ changed you and how Christ wants to change them and give them a water that will never run dry. And who needs your invitation to say, come and see? After 2 months, I get the feeling you guys are trying to understand who I am now. That I'm about the stepping out. I'm about encouraging you to step out into who Christ has you to be. If you want true fulfillment, if you want true happiness, I'm telling you right now, I 100% can guarantee you, if you want true fulfillment and happiness, this is how you do it. You step out and speak the message of Christ. Because it's what you were created for. Every cell, every enzyme, everything in you was created to do this. And when you do this, you will find true fulfillment. And it's not about just my fulfillment. It's about his fulfillment. It's what he created us to do. 1 Peter 3, 15 to 16 in closing. But in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, and let me tell you, church, you will be slandered. The world will hate you. Those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. There's going to be times people are going to hate you. And that's okay. Why? Because Jesus told you that. Jesus told you they were going to hate you. But for every 10 people who hate you, there's going to be that one person you're in relationship with that is going to love you for it. Church, I pray that we step out this week. Not just this week, but this is our mantra. This is our motto. This is who we are. We are a church, not in this building. We are a church in this world. Amen? We are not a church that just meets at 550 Obed. We are a church that meets in the city of Victoria. And the world may see us as a small church, but God sees us as a big church because each and every person who is in this place is a multi-level marketer. And the souls that you reach will reach souls who will reach souls who will reach souls. Because we as a church will step out in the message of who Christ is. And I'm excited to walk alongside this with you. And when the world beats you down, I'm a big guy. That's not going to help much. But I'll be here. And the world beats me down, you're here. And we will grow Christ's body together. Amen? Amen? Amen. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about what God's going to do in this church, what God's going to do in you, and the fulfillment. I'm looking forward to stories. I pray, actually. This isn't planned, but I'm gonna ask. I want to hear the stories. I want you to come and say, Pastor Jason, there's this person at work that I normally don't jam with. I normally don't chill. But God put them in front of me and God told me, this is the person I need you to talk to right now. There's this neighbor that like, oh my goodness, if you would please clean the leaves on your yard up. I'm that neighbor. But God told me to go and talk to them because maybe they're cranky, maybe they're not cleaning leaves up, but I don't know why they're not cleaning their leaves up. Maybe they're going through some sort of struggle at home. Maybe they're physically hurting. Maybe they're emotionally tired. Instead of just going, listen, clean your yard up already. We walk across and say, hey, what's going on? Is there some way I can help you? And we open that door. We have that nosy neighbor upstairs who just keeps... And I like that kind of music too, so I'd be like, yeah, yeah. But instead of going upstairs and yelling at them and going, turn their music down, saying, hey, can I come in and listen to what you're listening to? And create that relationship. But I'm looking forward to hearing your stories. I want to hear your stories of your interactions and the relationships that God is putting in front of you. Amen.